Good evening, my fellow Americans. Let us go to the map again.
All entrances to North Vietnamese ports will be mined. United States forces have been directed to take appropriate measures within the internal and claimed territorial waters of North Vietnam to interdict the delivery of any supplies. Rail and all other communications will be cut off to the maximum extent possible. Air and naval strikes against military targets in North Vietnam will continue. And that is why, my fellow Americans, tonight, I ask for your support of this decision. A decision which has only one purpose, not to expand the war, not to escalate the war, but to end this war and to win the kind of peace that will last. With God's help, with your support, we will accomplish that great goal.
The weapons controller, we would get the fragmentary orders, sometimes referred to as frags, listing the targets that were to be used, as well as the type of aircraft. And we would often check on the 7th Air Force target list, and we would see that they would be downtown Hanoi, downtown Haiphong, there was not a major city in North Vietnam that was exempt.
This is the rest of the news.
North Vietnam is a country at war. It's a country whose leaders have been branded international outlaws by a president of the United States who's ordered its harbors mined and its cities bombed. It is a country whose people have been waging war for independence and unification for more than 25 years against the Japanese and then the French and now the Americans. How do the Vietnamese manage to go on? How do they survive the heaviest aerial bombardment in the history of warfare?
Bill Zimmerman is a Boston area organizer for Medical Aid for Indochina, a group raising money for medical needs in North Vietnam. He recently returned from Hanoi. Bill was part of a delegation of four Americans visiting North Vietnam. The following excerpts from his diary are the first part of a three-part series on the rest of the news.
May 20th, 2 p.m. Hanoi, we're here. I must try to write a controlled description. Our plane landed in Hanoi and we were met by two members of the Vietnamese Committee for Solidarity with the American People, who apologized for the small size of the reception party by referring to the inconvenient conditions brought about by the bombing. Our driver moved fast. There was very little vehicular traffic, mostly bicycles and pedestrians. I had the distinct feeling they wanted to get us into town quickly because of the bombing, especially when we speeded up while driving past a railroad switching yard. The famous Red River Bridge, which according to the U.S. press had been totally wiped out a few days ago, was standing perfectly well except for one small section on the airport side of the river. We crossed over a pontoon bridge, and just as we got into the city, we heard loudspeakers announcing something in Vietnamese. A few blocks past the bridge, the air raid siren started up full blast. It was unbelievable. Not even into downtown Hanoi and already we were going to be bombed. The people on the streets around us started climbing into the one-man shelters made from concrete pipe. In seconds, the streets were clear. Those not yet under cover were moving briskly, not running, but not stalling around either. Our driver was in a predicament that was obvious to us. Make a run for the deep shelters at the hotel, or stop there and use the small ones. No one seemed afraid on the streets. They all knew what to do. The driver kept telling us in sign language that the planes were coming, but he did it laughingly. I wasn't frightened, but I did want to take cover. At one point, the driver stopped near some empty individual shelters. We had by this time driven a mile or so from the point where the sirens first went off, and the streets were empty except for us. "This is it, let's go," I said to Margie and reached for the door handle. Just as I did, the driver changed his mind and sped off. We drove about another mile, and once or twice more, the driver slowed down, looking for empty holes. When we pulled up in front, this is incredible. In the middle of the last sentence, the air raid siren went off again, and I had to split for the shelter. It was hot and humid underground. Spirits were high. Everyone else appeared relaxed as we sat there alternately laughing over our little jokes and trying to digest the enormity of what was happening outside and our relationship to it. Were we guilty of being associated somehow with the bomber pilots? Or should we, as so many previous Hanoi visitors had told us, be proud of the American anti-war people and of the movement we represented? It was not easy that first time to resist the guilt. The second attack, though, made me very angry, and I thought more of anti-aircraft guns than injured civilians. We were in the shelter.